Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com. Thank you for joining me today. My name is Kevin Flanagan, and if you would like to learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. In this show, we're going to talk about the topic of messaging and JMS. We're going to do an overview just to talk a little bit about how Java handles messaging. If you have any questions you would like to ask me regarding this presentation, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. We want to talk about messaging and JMS, so we're going to split this really into two separate segments. We're going to talk about messaging in general and what messaging providers are, what the major messaging models are, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what JMS does. JMS, we're going to use the term abstraction API for Java. We're going to see that what JMS is going to attempt to do is to insulate us from having to know the details of the underlying messaging provider. Okay, so let's start by defining our terms. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to talk about what is messaging. Okay, and here's what we can say about what messaging is. It's a form or a method of communication between software components or applications. Messaging system is going to be a peer-to-peer facility. A messaging client can send messages to and receive messages from any other client. Each client connects to a messaging agent that provides facilities for creating, sending, receiving, and reading messages. Okay. Now, messaging aids or enables distributed communication, and it's loosely coupled. So a component sends a message to a destination, and the recipient can retrieve the message from the destination. Okay. But in this case, the sender and the receiver, or some of the terms we'll see, publisher and subscriber, do not have to be available at the same time in order to communicate. In point of fact, the sender doesn't need to know anything about the receiver, and the receiver doesn't need to know anything about the sender. They only need to know what the message format is and what destination to use. Okay. In this respect, messaging differs from tightly coupled technologies such as RMI, which is Remote Method Invocation, which requires an application to know something about the remote application's methods. It needs to know, in RMI, we would have to know something about the name, the parameters. So there has to be some sense of pre-knowledge about what the originating system is doing. Okay. Messaging is also different than electronic mail, which really is a method of communication between people or between software applications and people. Messaging really is used for communication in software. It's from application to application or components, or from component to component. One of the first types of messaging that we'll look at, the first type is what we'll call, our first format, is what we'll call point-to-point. Okay? Point-to-point is when we have the concept of a queue. And the concept of a queue allows a client or someone to send the message, place it on a queue, and again, here we have the distinction between the client and the, or the publisher and the client having to be available at the same time. The information goes to the queue, and then the client consumes things from the queue. Okay. So that's one aspect, or one major style. Okay, so in point-to-point, what we're going to call it, okay, we can say that in a point-to-point, each message has only one consumer. A sender and a receiver of a message have no timing dependencies. The receiver can fetch the message whether or not it was running when the client sent the message. The receiver acknowledges the successful processing of a message. And when we would use point-to-point is when we need to send messages that are processed only by one consumer. The second major form of messaging is for something called topics, or we'll call PubSub or Publish Subscribe. Okay. Publish Subscribe, PubSub application. Clients address messages to a topic. So the publishers and the subscribers are generally anonymous and may dynamically establish or subscribe to the content hierarchy. The system takes care of distributing the messages arriving from a topic's multiple publishers to its multiple subscribers. Topics retain messages only so long as it takes to distribute them to current subscribers. Okay. So the characteristics of pub-sub messaging are that each message may have multiple consumers instead of what we just saw in point-to-point. Publishers and subscribers have some type of timing dependency. A client that subscribes to a topic can consume only messages published after the client has created a subscription, and the subscriber must continue to be active in order for it to consume messages. Okay, so let's take another avenue of looking at what messaging is. We've talked about the two major styles, but just to give us an idea of what the flavors of messaging are. But if we want to talk about messaging generically, it's simply a means for applications to communicate. We did mention that messaging is all about application. So we can say one application sends a message and another one receives it. The messages themselves can carry any type of data. They can be plain text, HTML, formatted. They can hold pictures, BMPs. There's tons of things that can be in there. So the term that we're going to use, we're going to say that we have someone who originates a message, and we're going to call that the sender or the producer. That's the originator of the message themselves. Now we're going to define our terms on the other side and say that we have something called a receiver or the consumer that is responsible, or not responsible, for reading a message, but has interest in reading a message. And the thing that sits in the middle, now we use the idea already of a cue and a topic, but let's give them a more general term. The idea of what sits in the middle, we're just going to call the messaging server or the message server, and we can call that the liaison. That's the thing that attaches the client to the producer. In terms of messaging, okay, when we talk about messaging, one of the major things that we are going to be concerned about is the idea that it's asynchronous. Asynchronous gives us a more flexible workflow. The client doesn't have to wait for the server to complete its task. If we have this idea of decoupled communication that allows for a lot more flexible design, message format can be variable. So the nature of the conversation itself then becomes flexible. And we can make the communication between unknown parties be done in a more efficient and easier fashion. Now, the idea of communication with an unknown party is, again, where this might differ from something like a remote procedure call, the RPCs that we mentioned earlier. There is no pre-knowledge required in this process. So we probably want to use asynchronous. That's really the hallmark of what we're going to be doing with messaging. Okay. And now we need to define, okay, who are the clients and who are the servers? Okay. Well, in messaging, the line is a little bit blurred between the sender and the receiver, because they both can be clients of somebody else. Okay. All we really have to say is that the messaging server, or the message server that sits in between them, that intermediary, is what determines whether they're a client or a sender, because there can be multiple intermediaries along the chain. Okay, so when we talk about flexible relationships, our idea of sender to receiver, we can be one-to-one, which is what we had with queues. We can be many-to-many or one-to-many. That would be our topics. Okay. We don't have to worry about blocking our clients. In other words, when we're dealing with something like RPC, the client has to wait for the response. When we're dealing with messaging, the client gets the message and goes on its way. It doesn't have to wait for a response. That is the nature of asynchronous processing. And we can also defer the delivery of messages and therefore allow load balancing. The messages don't have to be delivered immediately. Okay. So in summing up that idea of asynchronous versus synchronous, it really comes down to less prior knowledge about the server. That requirement that one knows about the other really is no longer in place. Now, as we said, we had two major ways of doing this. Pub-sub actually formal name publish subscribe, and point to point, sometimes referred to as P2P. Okay. And now we can go down to a little bit more detail. Okay. For example, in the pub sub model, messages get published to a topic. The receiver receives subscribes to a topic and receives all the messages. Okay. The key characteristic here, again, is that one message goes to all the subscribers. PubSub, we might think of that as being a good example, might be an internet news service. Okay. Subscribers sign up to receive news messages. The publisher then sends the news to everybody who's subscribed in interest. Okay. Point-to-point, the key term that we introduced earlier was the idea of queue. Again, when we're talking about where the topics are published and where the queue is, we're really talking about the use of a message intermediary. Okay? So many receivers in point-to-point can service one queue, but each message only goes to one person. So the queue is our implementation of the one-to-one. So PubSub is around topics. That's our keyword for PubSub. Point-to-point, our keyword is queue. And the issue now becomes, where does JMS fit into this? Okay. Well, the liaison might be many different products. Probably two of the major products that we would deal with would be something like MQ Series from IBM or TIBCO, the TIBCO messaging. Both of these support the PubSub and point-to-point model. But if we had to talk to them directly, what we would have to do is understand what method of communication each one of those particular software products needed to have. Okay. JMS gives us an advantage in this regard. JMS is an abstraction API. It means that it insulates us from having to know the details of the underlying structure of the software. JMS is the Java messaging service, and it in turn supports both messaging models. But what it says is that for JMS, what will happen is that you write your code according to the rules of JMS. Okay? JMS is an API. It lives in javax.jmx package. It's part of J2EE. It's mostly interfaces, but then the implementation is done by JMS compliant products. For example, the two I just mentioned, MQ Series and TIBCO, both support JMS. They actually write the implementation. So our code in JMS does not have to know the underlying details of the actual software. So JMS is going to require the following. Without getting into code details, basically what we're going to say is this. The JMS sender will connect to a JMS destination. Okay, our destination, that could be, again, TIBCO or MQ Series. So they will connect to a destination, create the message, and then send the message. The receiver will connect to the JMS destination and receives and reads the message. And really, in a nutshell, that all is all that has to be done. Because when we write the JMS code for either the sender or the producer, we do not have to know what the underlying software product is. Okay, in a high-level walkthrough, what we would say is that we would connect, first of all, to a registry. We have to get something called the initial context. Now, that may come from something called Jindy, which is another Java abstraction API. Jindy is Java naming and directory. All we need to know is we're going to get a context from there. Okay. Once we have our context, we're going to look up something called the topic connection factory. We're assuming that what we're using right now is the PubSub model. So we look up the topic connection factory, and then when that's returned to us, then we can look up the topic of interest by using the lookup methods within the context factory. Okay. We also can use the connection factory to create a connection. Okay. Once we have a connection, we create a session. Okay. And once we have the session, we can use that to create a message producer for the topic. Once we have that session, we will create the text message that we want to send. We use the publish method to send the message, and then we can close the connection. Now, we haven't shown any code here, but we want to talk at a conceptual level. And that's really all that's required of JMS. When I say it's all required of JMS, we don't have to know the details, again, that it's TIBCO or MQ series. So we could talk more about detail in the code, but that's probably best left for a JMS course itself. So I hope you enjoyed today's presentation, and I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd also like to remind you that if you have any questions or comments, to please use the question comment box below. If you're interested in listening to my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for Kevin Flanagan. If you have any suggestions or ideas for future shows, please send me an email and send me your ideas. Again, let me thank you for your time today, and remember to tune into the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. Thank you.